I'm going to walk you through a four-step process that I think puts business on easy mode. And so whether you're just getting started or you're already making tons of money and are just trying to make more, this process just works. And I've done it in tons of different portfolio companies and companies we've advised. And just to give you a little bit of context, as of last year, our portfolio at acquisition.com did over $250 million in aggregate revenue. And I say that not as a promise that if you do this, you're going to get that outcome, but that this works. All right. So that being said, let's dive in. Step number one, get the ad. So we have to fundamentally show something to someone in order for them to find out about our stuff, right? Can we agree on that? If the answer to that is yes, then the first step here is that we're going to have some sort of advertisement. Now, that ad might be somebody reaching out. It's an advertisement, literally letting people know about stuff. It could be a paid ad. So it could be an interruption-based ad that happens, you know, on any social media platform. It could be a piece of content like this that says, hey, you know, go buy this thing. Now, between all the different ways of getting customers, paid ads versus content versus outreach versus maybe the exception being affiliates, paid ads is the most, you know, the fastest to scale, because one guy with buttons and good creative could scale it to the moon. Right. And so it's all about skill when it comes to creating paid ads. Now, I'm going to just use this as our placeholder. But if you're trying to get into paid ads, then I'll give you two little frameworks that have worked really well for me. All right. So number one, and this is a new one, which is absolutely murdering it for us, is what I'll call organic plus CTA. Very complicated. All right. So what is organic plus CTA? It's you have whatever organic content you make. Some content does better than others, provided you make organic content relevant to the stuff you sell, which, by the way, probably a good idea. You make your content and then you find the good ones. And then all you do is you add a call to action at the end that sends people to your thing. And we already know it works because we've already tried it. And so you get to have all these test shots on goal that cost you nothing by simply making the content. And then you just let the algorithm tell you what people already like and they engage with and they share and they click, and they get past the hook. And then you just say, oh, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to turn it into something that feeds my business in a more scalable way, because I'm not going to rely on the platform to just give it to people for free, which is great. But I also can't really add a longer call to action because it would tank the effectiveness of the clip. But if I put it in the beginning and then I pay the platform, then they're happy to display it because they were already happy to display it for free. So why wouldn't they want to display it in exchange for money? And then we can add our very simple call to action at the end for some sort of thing, which I'll get to in a second. Now, the second kind of way of thinking about this, like this one's by far the easiest. If you can do this, do it. Now, if you're like, okay, I don't have enough organic, or you know, I just need to, you know, quickly make ads directly, then this is the framework that I would use. So I have hook plus meat plus CTA. All right. So I'm gonna break down each of these really quickly. So from a hook's perspective, what I do is I still look at the best performing organic and the best performing ads across all industries. So this is one where you don't need to stick to your industry. You might find a hook that works exceptionally well in finance, and it works really well for hotels too, right? Provided it doesn't like actually say finance in it. And so you'll see that hooks just convert across way different audiences because it just draws attention. And so the first thing I look at is hooks. And this is by far the 80% of the ad. And you're like, wait, but they're so short and they're still the most important. So we should just be thankful. It's crazy. It's like people have a hard time accepting that something short could be more meaningful than something long because it takes more work. Like, would you prefer that the thing that means the most is actually really hard and long to do? No, right? Like the fact that hooks are short is a gift from God for advertisers that we can actually have the most important thing not require a ton of work. Now, if you want to be smart about it, it should require work because you're going to do that work in the research or the pre-search before you record this. So for here, I would have at least 50 plus hooks. Now you're like, 50 plus hooks? Yeah, you're probably not making nearly enough ads. And I don't care what your spend is. Like if you're spending $10,000 a month, $100,000 a month, like you can never have too many ads. I'll just say that. You can never have too many ads. You just give the algorithm more things to pick from to find the winners. Now, the meat, I'm going to give you a different framework that I haven't talked about much lately. And so I'm going to break it down for you right here. All right. This is four-step persuasion. And I just think it's just so easy to understand. So this is how I think, this is my mental framework, all right, for how I actually make persuasive advertisements, copy, pitches, whatever, right? Which is you're going to get more good stuff if you do the thing I want you to do. You're going to get less bad stuff if you do the thing I want you to do. And if you don't do the thing that I want you to do, you're going to get more bad stuff and you're going to get less good stuff. That's it. Four different angles that you can hit on any action I want you to take. So if you sign up for the gym, you're going to feel better. I'm making this obviously really simple. You're going to get more good feels. You have more energy. You're going to sleep better. All that stuff's good. Now, what's the inverse of that? You're not going to feel the brain fog that you've been feeling. You're not going to feel as lethargic. You're not going to have your kids out playing and feel like you can't play with them and feel like a bad parent. We're going to get rid of all that. Minus negative thing. The only thing easier, you know, than taking this small action today is not taking that action. But the thing is that if you don't take that action, then whatever brain fog you're feeling right now, the current weight that you put on over the last 5 years, let's push it out 2 or 3 years. How much more weight are you going to be? Like if you're 50 pounds overweight now, what are you going to feel like at 70 pounds overweight? It'd be way worse, right? You don't want that. Also, all those memories, when you think about the happiest memories that you have with your kids, with your family, like those are going to decrease. You're going to have fewer of those because you physically can't do that. And so the only thing easier than taking action is not taking action at all. And so if these are the things that you want, you should do this thing because that way we can avoid this stuff. That's it. Very straightforward. And this is what constitutes our meat. Now, I'd made a very simplistic example. If I want to make that more interesting, right? And if you want to like, how do you create unique copy? This is a little advanced tip for you. All right. So pro tip, break down the terms. So what does it mean? So if I say you're going to feel better, right? That is not going to be compelling copy. I can promise you that right now. But what does feel better mean to somebody? How would I know that feeling better had occurred, right? In their life. And this is where you have to, this is where the research of like reading Amazon reviews for products that are similar in your space. Even if you sell services, read the positive reviews in their language of the things that they will say of why, of what happened. And the way they think about this, here it is. This is it. This is the big word that you need to double underline. Think in moments. What is the moment that someone think, wow, I feel better? What's the moment? What occurred? What happened, right? Maybe it's that they were able, let's say if it's an elderly population that we're doing with this weight loss thing, they were able to take the kid off the ground and pick him up, right? And they have this moment where after they had that little 3-4 minute exchange, they're like, man, that was awesome. I couldn't do that before because I was so weak and I hadn't developed my shoulder strength. I didn't have the mobility to do that. Like, wow, it's a moment. What else would it be? Maybe it's, bending over to tie my shoe. I felt like I was getting out of breath because I had to like hold my gut in so I could lean over to tie my shoes. That's gone now. Like, what if there was a world where you just put both of them on and you could do it while you're standing, right? That's not out of reach. It's just a couple steps away from where you're at right now, right? So if I say that, I can describe all the things that someone might experience and then denote that they feel better without saying you're gonna feel better. And so this applies for each of these elements of copy. And this is what makes copy potent. It's the specificity, because you want someone to understand it within their own context of like, man, I've had that happen. And that's real. That's what makes good copy. And if that little copy tip was helpful for you, then I have pages and pages of things that have helped me make good ads inside of the Run Paid Ads chapter in page 129. So I talk about, one, how paid ads work, obviously. But secondly, how do you write the copy? So I break down all the anatomy of ads in all of this, all these pages I'm talking about. All of this is how you can make the ad. And so this is the level one framework. The level two that you put on top of this is who and when. This is the what, which again, I also cover in the book. So we could talk about the prospect, but we could also talk about that prospect status with regards to their spouse, talk about it with regards to their kids, talk about it with regards to their frenemies, their rivals, their competitors, right? What are all these plus and minuses with regards to that rival dad across the street or that rival business, right? What are all those look like? And then how do we pace that for today? But then also the future. What does the future look like when things don't go the right way? Ooh, well, that's going to be the bottom side. That's what happens if you don't take action, right? On the flip side, what does the future look like if things go well, right? So we can play it out today, but also play it out tomorrow. And this gives you unlimited different angles to make the meat of your ad more compelling. And then the third thing is obviously the call to action, which you want it to be as clear as humanly possible and tell them exactly what you want them to do and what will happen next. This is a key point that a lot of people miss. Not only do you want to say it, you want it to be demonstrated in the ad. So if I want someone to go to the next page, when I say go to the next page, I want the go to the next page to be visible, because that way what happens is you have congruence. So and that has a couple levels of persuasion there. So number one, in terms of congruence, is people say, okay, I have set my expectations, and they click, and then their expectations are met. And then what do you know? You have way fewer people who bounce off the page because the page looks exactly like I expected it to. Now, what else happens? The person who actually made the recommendation, who made the suggestion to go to the page, also increases in influence. Because when you say something's going to happen and then it happens, the person, consciously or subconsciously, doesn't matter, science works either way, they will believe the next thing you predict with greater certainty. And so Wouldn't you want people to be like, man, when that guy says something's going to happen, that's what happens. That precedes or plants the seed for the sale that will inevitably come down the road. Now, once we have our ads, so now we're getting eyeballs, right? People are seeing the ads. And then what are they doing? They're taking an action. All right, so this is my world's terrible mouse click. They click on the ad. I don't know, our little mouse is on fire, but we're just going to go with it. All right, the next step in this process is going to be the opt-in, right? We want them to give us their information for something. And what are they going to give us the information for? So typically, it's going to be a lead magnet of some sort. Now, people have this big issue with like, lead magnets are dead, or lead magnets, you know, are alive. I'll tell you this, bad lead magnets are dead. Good lead magnets certainly are alive. And most lead magnets suck. And so it's unsurprising that the vast majority of people who start to run ads the first time don't make money because their ads suck. And the first time you take a sales call, you probably suck because you don't know how to take a sales call. And the first lead magnet you make will probably suck too. Now, I want to give you, in my opinion, the best lead magnet that I've ever seen in my whole life. All right. And so it was actually in the dating space, and it was called How to Know If a Girl Wants You to Kiss Her. Okay. Now, who wouldn't want to know if a girl wants you to kiss her, right? And so the simple answer to that, and this is the lead magnet, is try to brush her hair behind her ear. And if she moves her head away, then she doesn't want to kiss you. If she doesn't move her head at all or moves her head towards your hand, then she does. Very simple, all right? But the beauty of this is like, wait, so that could be a lead magnet? Of course it could be a lead magnet. We want to solve the tiniest problem we possibly can for the prospect and completely solve it and blow them away. Now, some people are like, I made this full course. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be clear. I've got a whole bunch of them on my site. The thing is there's going to be a certain amount of information that is required in order for a customer to make a decision, period, right? I would toss out the idea of emotional buyer, logical buyer, and just replace that, and this is how I think about it, as high information and low information. How much information does someone need in order to make a purchasing decision? Some people need less, some people need more, but if you provide more to everyone, you will close more people overall. And so a lot of us are trying to add to straight money, and there are going to be those people who will just see an ad, watch a video, and then buy something. That happens. They are the minority. They are the crazy people, and we are grateful for them because they allow all of the machines to work. But for the other 97% of people, they usually need a little bit more time, a little bit more information in order to make the decision. And we have to facilitate that. So there's going to be two paths that people are going to self-identify as we go through this to maximize our monetization of the advertising that we do to make the most money. Now, the lead method that I just explained, which was just have the girl brush the girl's hair behind her ear, you can fill it out. So what type of lead magnet is this? So what I gave you is a one-step to a multi-step solution. So most people who are in the dating space aren't looking to just get a kiss, right? They're looking to find more dates. They're looking to, you know, eventually find a wife. They're going to have to get into a relationship. They're going to maybe get married later. So there's all these other problems that are going to have to happen outside of just figuring out if a girl wants to kiss you. If I don't have dates, I don't care. Now, this is neat, but I still have other problems that need to solve. But if you accurately solve that problem, because I'm like, I can understand why that would work, then what do you think I'm going to do next? I'm going to believe that you can probably help me solve my other problems. So what I just outlined, you can come in real quick. So this is page 32 of the Leads book, is the problem solution cycle, right? And there's many, many problem solution cycles that exist within a larger goal. The bigger the goal, the more problem solutions they have to go through, right? And so our lead magnet too has to solve one of these little problem solution cycles. So teaching the guy how to know if the girl wants to kiss him, it's not the big loop. It's just one of these tiny itty bitty loops. That's all it is. But now I think, well, if you help me solve that one, I'll bet you he could help me solve the rest of them. Now, what type of lead magnet is this? So the type of lead magnet, you could reveal a problem, which would be like, the reason that you're not getting responses in your DMs is because of this. So if I show them a framework for what a DM is supposed to be, I reveal the problem of why they're not getting responses. Now, the other side of this is that I could say, hey, I'm going to give you a free trial of my dating thing. Like, this is another type of lead magnet. Now, this one is actually step three or type three of lead magnets, which is I'm giving away one step of a multi-step process to get an outcome, right? You're not just trying to get a girl to kiss you. You have to get responses, and you have to set up dates, and then you have to know how to talk on the dates. You have to know how to flirt beforehand and afterhand. And I don't know what afterhand is, but apparently it's a thing, right? And so you got after it. And then it's like, how do I do the second day? How do I do the third day? What are smooth ways to proposition a woman to whatever? You get my idea. I'll stop there. you know, fill the rest in with your imagination, you know, and then propose. There we go. We just went straight to marriage, right? The whole thing is this, there's a lot of problems that are going to happen in this process, and we don't need to solve them all. Think about a dating person who's like, here's how to go from zero to married, right? Like, that would be a lot. Like, we just have to solve the problem that's in front of them today. Now, one of the other issues with the lead magnet is it made for the right avatar? And this is a big one. And this is like, people mess this one up a lot. All right. And so they're like, okay, well, how to get your first five clients, right? I have some videos for that, but that's not my main avatar. Now, I am willing to help people out who are getting started, and that's okay. That's why I make those things. But is somebody who's just getting started my avatar today? No, but I'm betting on the fact that they will be years from now, but not because I want to give something to that person today. Right? And so if you have a spectrum of customers that you could potentially service, you want to make sure the lead magnet is perfectly fit for the perfect customer that you want. And if you haven't gotten clear on the type of customer you want, then you're certainly not going to be able to make the right lead magnet. Now, I have a free chapter. I think it's called acquisition.com. I think it's called /avatar. I think that's what it is. But if you go your first avatar, acquisition.com or Alex Ramosi, I'm sure you can find it. But basically, if you're not sure how to pick your avatar, that chapter explains it. It was actually kind of like a single that I released after the offers book. I recommend you check it out. Anyways, now, once we have our lead magnet, we have their information. So what is that going to lead to? We're going to need to lead to something that's going to sell them, right? Who's going to warm up the prospect, all right? And so this is where we get our video sales letter. This is a VSL, all right? It's just a fancy term here. Fancy, fancy, smancy. By the way, if you want an example of a lead magnet, this is one that we have. So you can check this out. So $100 million scaling roadmap. This is for business owners, right? So if you're a business owner, you're trying to scale, then you're going to be at one of these 10 stages of scaling. And so what problem can I solve for you today? Well, if I can solve the current constraint in your business and show where this is, by the way, a reveal a problem type of lead magnet. So I reveal the problem, and then I also give you the solution to do this. But the thing is if you see this, and sometimes even just being, oh my God, this is exactly what I'm struggling with right now, then it probably increases the likelihood that you think, okay, I think this guy could help me out. Simple as that. And it provides you more information to eventually make a decision. All right, so the lead magnet sets the stage and attracts the exact type of prospect that I want to work with, right? Someone with qualifications. But now we have to convert them, all right? And this is where our video sales letter comes into play, all right? So the video sales letter, the video that you have here, is probably one of the highest leverage things that you can create in terms of sales aids, right? Like if a lot of times you're like, ads don't work for me. It's not that ads don't work for you. It's that you haven't put enough friction in your process. And again, this is one of those things everyone's afraid of. Everyone's afraid of adding steps, adding friction, adding questions, adding qualifications, having people watch things in order to make a purchasing decision. But I promise you, if you look at your customers over the last however long, most of them, almost all of them, will not have immediately bought something. Most of the times they will have consumed an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours plus of information from you in various formats before they decide to go through this process and ultimately buy. And so what we want to do is reverse engineer and facilitate this. Like, the big finding I had when I was in Gym Launch was that 78% of customers had consumed at least two long form pieces of content. Now, I had podcasts, I had books, I had a group that I had kind of the video version of those podcasts. And so 78% had consumed at least two. So in thinking about this, I was like, okay, so my average piece of long form content at the time was something in the neighborhood of like maybe 17 to 20 minutes. So basically people had to consume, call it an hour, right, of information from me in order to be willing to book a call and be warm and potentially buy. And so I was like, okay, if that's what it takes, why don't I try and force people to do that, to become somebody who is likely to buy? If that's what 78% of people do before buying, well, then why don't I get 100% of my people to do the thing that 78% do that are the ultimate buyers? That's the idea. So if you're like, okay, VSL, what do I put inside this video? I'm going to walk you through a very simple frame. There's a bunch of different, you know, versions of VSLs that you can run. I'm not going to get into that today. But people overcomplicate this, all right? They want to make this seem like this big box of black magic. And I've made so many video sales letters in my life that I can tell you there is no big box of magic. And I'll give you two different structures that work really well, okay? So structure one is actually very similar to a YouTube video. So you're going to go the five P's, which is proof, promise, pain, plan, picture, okay? So what does this mean? It means that I need to make some promise that they're going to get from this video. I need to talk about the pain to demonstrate that I know where they're at right now. I need to give them proof that why they should believe me. And then I'm going to lay out the plan of how I'm going to help them solve it. And then usually I want that to be a visual so they can understand, hence the visual, right? And then after I've done all of these things and I go through my plan, right? Here's my plan, okay? After I have this kind of meaty part, then I'm going to have what I consider the FAQ section, which is, what do people say when they get on the phone that they have questions about? I want to put all of the FAQs, every single one of them, into this video. I want to pre-handle the objections. And a lot of them are really sensical concerns. How long have you been doing this? How do I know this is legit? Answer all of their concerns in the video. And then finally, I just call it a little proof stack at the end, which is you just put stories of successful customers, right? And you can put your CTA here. And then you put another CTA here. Saying, by the way, this concludes the video. At the end of this, it's just going to be a testimonial reel. You can watch this if you want. Now, when you say that, I'll just tell you this right now. You think that people won't watch them? People watch all of them. I'm just letting you know. All right. So this is a version of a VSL that works great. Another version, if you have something that is more well-defined, right? So like when I say that, it's like if you sell a service that people, if I went on the street and said, hey, do you know what an electrician does? Do you know what an HVAC person does? And if somebody understands that a little bit better, then I spend less time on this and I just go 5 W's, right? Which is, you know, who, what, where, when, why. And then I'll still have my FAQs, still have my proof stack, and still have my CTAs. This is basically two different versions of the meat. And guess what? Both have worked. But I thought there was this big box of magic. All we're doing is answering all the questions that someone might reasonably have before making a purchasing decision so that when we get on the phone with them, we can just help them make a purchasing decision rather than having two calls where we're giving them information before they make a purchasing decision. So right now, let's say that you run an ad campaign and you're like, man, it's taking me like 3 or 4 calls to close somebody. It's because this is the magic of this. If it's taking you, you know, 2 or 3 calls, then that tells you that prospects need 2 or 3 hours of information in order to make a buying decision. And so if you're efficient with it, those 3-hour calls can probably be covered if you are specific in what the FAQs are and all the concerns, and probably cover it in maybe 45, 90 minutes if you're just very diligent about noting what the questions are. And I'll give you another pro tip on this, which is you want the FAQ to be in their language. So if someone says, I'm really busy right now, you want to have a way to handle, I'm really busy right now. Now, they might also say, I've got a lot going on. Now, to you, you might be like, because a salesman might think immediately, oh, well, that's just a timing objection. And the answer is, yes, you're right. But the thing is that someone might have 6 different ways of saying a timing objection. And you want to have an FAQ that covers each of those 5 or 6 ways. Because if you said that to a salesman and they said, I'm really busy right now, and then you responded with, how you would overcome someone saying, I've got a lot of, you know, plate spinging, you would actually have a slightly different overcome for that, or objection handler. And so we need to basically say it in their language and then say the overcome that's appropriate to each of those things. So yes, that means you're going to have to have an answer for their questions. But this should hopefully demystify all of the black voodoo magic around what is in one of these videos. You're just answering their questions. That's it. Now, I always get this question. Should I put my price in the VSL, or should I not put my price in the VSL? The answer is, it depends, all right? Now, the reason I say this is, there are some businesses where, basically, I tend to put price in my stuff. And that's because I have more demand than I can handle, and I want to add friction to my process so that I can maximally utilize, the sales team, right? Not waste their time. If I had an underutilized sales team, then I'd be probably more willing to not have the money qualification there. I will say this though, the longer I've been doing business, the more I just end up putting all the information up front. And everyone's always afraid of, you know, what if I tell them, you know, the price? It's like, they're going to find out eventually, right? So I tend to try and cover as many things before the sales call as humanly possible. Okay, so now you've got an ad, they clicked, they got the free thing. Now they've got the video sales letter, which, by the way, pro tip, you can actually put the lead magnet inside of the VSL if you want to. So you'd be like, by the way, that thing about the girl thing, I'll tell you that in a second. Then you get to the first third of your VSL. Then you can slice in the lead magnet and say, hey, by the way, this is the tip. And guess what? I have 28 other tips that you can follow, which I'll show you in this video. And then you go through it, right? So you can do either of those formats. Both of them work. But now we have to convert these people, all right? So I'm going to put something here, and then something here. Sorry that my little money. That is a phone for everyone born before, you know, 2000 or after 2000. Okay. So what is bands? I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to hit on this a lot, but you want to make sure they have budget authority, need timing. Do they got the money to spend? Do they have the ability to make the decision? Do they need this thing? And is right now the time they want to buy? If we can answer those four things and you do that in the application, or if you have a scheduler, right, where they're booking a call, you make sure that those are the questions that are being asked there. And you only, and here's the tough part, you actually only take calls with people who say they have the money to spend, they have the authority to make the decision, they have the need, and they're willing to move forward now. Now, how much easier of a call do you think it is when someone's gotten value from you? They then fully understand the questions that someone might ask around making a purchasing decision from you. They say they have the money, the time, the need, the authority to do it. Now you're talking to them. How likely is it you think you're going to close them? Way higher than if you didn't have all that stuff, right? So the reason that this process right here is the most efficient way of converting traffic is that it's kind of like a microwave, right? You take someone from a cold prospect to a hot prospect. It's like you can, you know, you can slow cook it, you can simmer it, you can kind of bake it over time. I was like, or you can just nuke that thing. And so this is basically like nuking a prospect. How do we just bomb them with all the, because think about it like this. If someone's like, I've followed you for a year, right? If someone followed short form for a year, and let's say they consumed 5 pieces a week, which would be a crazy amount. It's 250 shorts. Well, the average shorts, let's just be generous here and say it's 30 seconds, which it isn't. All right. So that would mean that they've consumed 120 minutes, about 2 hours. Okay. So we can have them consume 120 minutes over a year and then buy. They've gotten that much information in order to make a sale. Or we can just have them consume all 2 hours up front. And so think about this. Like, I think a lot about sales processes as a plane taking off. This is my Alex's very simple visual. All right, so we've got our plane, right? Here's our plane. Let's put little wheels on our plane. I don't know. Just go with it. All right, here's my plane. Da, 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 da. And we got to put a little back wing thing. Oof, this is tough. Okay, there's my terrible plane. All right, the thing is could this plane take off on this runway? No, the plane's too big. So I have to increase the size of my runway to give this plane enough lift to take off. The size of this runway is the amount of information that you need to tell the prospect. And so if we know that someone needs 2 hours to make a purchasing decision, then what do you think we've done? They consume a little bit here. They're going to consume, you know, maybe 30 to 45 minutes here, right? And then on the call, what do you think we're going to get here? Another hour. And so when we add all this together, they've gotten about 2 hours of information from us, but we did it in the span of a couple of days rather than over a year, right? And this is why this is kind of like the ramrod, the fastest way of monetizing within a business. Now, what happens to all the leads that go through this process and don't necessarily want to purchase immediately? The logical people, the people that actually make sense and they're not crazy, okay? So what do we do with all these people? Well, we want to put them somewhere that we give them long-term nurture, where we just say, oh, you are just the type of person who needs more information to make a decision. No worries. Then I'm just going to give you more information. And I'm going to do that, provide more value over a longer period of time. And so that's where things like having a school group where you just dump all the extra leads into, and you keep making content there, and you answer their questions there until eventually they're like, hey, I do actually want to take some action on this. And then boom, you send them, you run them through the process, you microwave them again, you reheat them, right? And then boom, you make the sale, right? That's the idea. So this long-term nurture, once people go through that, they're still going to come right back through the front door again and then get reheated. These are the four steps. You make your ads, you have a banger lead magnet, you have a VSL, and then you qualify the person before the sale. And pro tip, you know, 4.5 is that for everybody who doesn't buy, you have to put them in some sort of either email sequence or group or both, where you continue to provide value. You continue to basically answer all these little FAQs that they've had, because maybe they've got other ones, or maybe they just need to see more proof. Some people just need more information to make the decision. That's all it comes down to. And when you do that and you provide as much information as possible, you convert a way higher percentage of the audience. So let me give you the massive pro tip, the thing that took me way too long to understand. What do you think a brand is? We're giving someone tons of information over a long period of time about who we are, what we're about, our way of doing things. And so the reason that brands grow significantly bigger than the people who just do this, like if you just do this, you're going to be able to make some money, but you'll quickly cap. You'll be able to make money, but you will cap. To build the brand, we have to have this thing be enormous. And then this thing ends up being our eyeballs at the front of this, so that we have this enormous audience of people that have gotten value from us day in and day out for an extended period of time. That is then what, over time, if you it's like, I think about it like this. It's like, you've got this pyramid of people who are interested in your stuff, right? And this is as they, you know, get more information, right? They move up the pyramid. And so all we're going to do is we're going to have these people are the ones who give us money. And all these people aren't going to do anything. They're just going to be like, man, this guy's great or this gal's great, right? So if we want to grow this little slice here, what do? Grow the bottom, you grow the base. And this fundamentally is what growing a brand is about. You're growing the base so that the top of the pyramid is way bigger than over here, where you have to try and take someone up the elevator using the four-step process that I just walked through. So that is my blueprint for unlocking your business's maximum monetization potential. And if you want to understand this even more in depth, then you'll love this video. We're actually doing a full live breakdown of a business owner's funnel. Enjoy.